I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I'm Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. If the podcast sounds especially blessed today, it is because we are recording in the All Saints studio.
This feels like a cop-out.
It may also be related to the fact that we haven't had internet here at the house all day, and that our guest doesn't have a name that immediately goes to the thought of a saint.
True. In my defense, my middle name does. There are several St. Thomases. Okay.
So I was struggling, and without any internet to help, we're covering all the bases. All we are in the All Saints studio. So I am blessed to have the help today of an honorary member of the Burns family, Father Drew Hoffman.
That's right.
As well as an actual member of the Burns family, Father Garrett Burns.
That's right.
And we have as a guest in the studio the original member of the Burns family, Father Devin Burns.
Thank you very much. I prefer Father Burns the Greater. And Father Garrett can be Father Burns the Lesser.
I like where this is going already.
I'll take it.
I have a first question, though. Your dad, when he was on the podcast, made a point of this. Is it Dev or Devin?
I mean, my given name is Devin.
Okay.
I don't introduce myself as Dev. That would be a little presumptuous.
The Rev Dev was a great name.
I never thought about that. That's great.
Usually more, in priestly company or friends would I be called Dev. But okay. It's fine.
Do your parents call you Dev ever?
No.
Okay. Because when I said that to your dad, he acted like he had never heard that before, that was even a possibility.
Yeah, my nickname was Bobo, growing up. I don't know where dad got that from.
We'll say Bo.
I say Dev a lot, but yeah. I say Garrett a lot. And so
You're the problem.
Yeah. I think the guys call you Dev. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's some other priests and guys I was in seminary with.
We're finally getting to the base of where this all went, where the train got off the tracks. There is no Saint Devin.
Correct.
Okay.
Anything close?
Well, Father Pat York reminded me of this when I was in seminary and was about to get ordained. We were just driving in the car one time and he goes, Devin's not really a Christian name. What's your middle name? You could go by Father that if you want. I was like, it's Thomas and I'm not doing that. I always think there's several St. Thomases. I don't necessarily connect with St. Thomas the Apostle since he's called Doubting Thomas. Mm-hmm. Try to avoid that one. But St. Thomas Becket, I'm a big fan of. St. Thomas More. I don't know if I'm smart enough to be connected to St. Thomas Aquinas. Mm-hmm. But,
Someone at RCA last night chose Thomas the Apostle as their sponsor.
I can respect
that. For the doubting reason. I appreciate that. That's a bum deal.
He's got some other great lines in the gospel.
Right.
Yeah. None of the other apostles, he did the best work of all the apostles.
Sorry they wrote down the one time. I wasn't sure what was going on.
He's got the other line, they're like going to Galilee.
Let us go to die with? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you be the courageous Thomas?
This messed up.
And poor Thomas. But there's a line somewhere too from John Paul II talking about, I need to look it up sometime, but he's encouraging, he says we need new saint names. So your parents... We're on the ball with Garrett and Devin because there aren't saints by either of those names, and the internet wasn't around to help me find what was close to Devin. So, thus,
someday soon,
All Saints Studio. Now, in your guys' family, there's a sister, right?
Yes, correct. Older sister.
So, who is she? The oldest?
Yes. Yeah, she's actually. When you said the original member, I thought you knew. I didn't know what you were doing. Ooh. That's messed up. Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking she was in between you guys or younger.
They're
don't know.
12 months apart.
Yeah. So Lauren's the oldest, a year older than me. I'm in the middle. Garrett's 14 months younger than me. Basically 3 and 3 years. Pat and Jackie said, we need a break.
We need to get her on the podcast.
That would be funny if Jackie and Law were on this podcast.
That would be interesting. That would be a whole different perspective. But shout out for Mrs. Garden at St. Peter Schulte. Mm-hmm. Her class will be happy.
Oh, that's the new name.
Yeah, that's her married name.
Okay, I don't know why we're giving this random shot. She loves the Burns family, and anytime someone is on here, we have had more members of the Burns family on this podcast than any other
By
family
far,
or anything. Records. I mean, yeah. So that's why, again, Mrs. Gardner, you've got an open invitation, and Jackie, we're going to have you on sometime
and see what
unfolds.
I was worried about this because most times people say, especially like I'm at St. Margaret Mary where Devin was before, and a lot of people say our voices sound very similar. So I was like, how is the podcast going to go? Who's
in? Yeah, so sorry, Burns, this is very confusing. Yeah. You'll just know it's one of the Burns fathers speaking.
Do you guys hear that or I don't?
To me, you guys are distinct. Okay. I can't tell.
But I've known you for 20 years.
Yeah, right. I don't know that. Yeah. And for those of our viewers who don't know you physically, I wouldn't immediately guess you guys, like, knowing I can see it, but, you know, Dev's got the reddish beard and, more freckles, if you guys stood next to you, I wouldn't automatically go, those two are brothers.
So when we were growing up, we were around the same height, even though I'm a little bit older than Garrett. So my mom would often dress up in essentially matching outfits. So because of that, people thought we were siblings or maybe twins. Uh-huh. But as we grew older, Garrett has more of my dad's features, darker skin, darker hair. Me a little bit more like my mom, lighter skin, lighter hair generally. So,
So you're older. What year were you ordained?
2015.
You had to think about the
year. I know the year at least.
I know the year.
Tolbert didn't know his date.
I usually think of the date, May 23rd. May 23rd, 2015.
Capon's Feast Day.
Capon's Feast Day is what it hopefully will be. Okay. This is the day of his death.
2015 and you were ordained?
2018.
Okay. May 26. 3 years apart in ordination dates. And you're currently pastor of Christ the King?
Yep, currently pastor at Christ the King. Wonderful school over on the west side of Wichita.
Where else have you served in the diocese?
I started at St. Margaret Mary as a parochial vicar, then was down in Pittsburgh for a year when they were just finishing up the renovation of the beautiful church there, doing Hispanic ministry especially. And then I became the pastor at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Newton. And then just a little over 2 years ago, started at Christ the King.
All right.
I saw Father David Bums that was at Pittsburgh. They streamed the Midnight Mass at Pittsburgh that year because it was new and it like, you got up to read the gospel or you did something and just said, Father David Bums. Like,
incredible.
Close but not quite was my thought when they put that on there. But
that's awesome. Now, growing up, we need to investigate a little bit about the Burns household. Drew probably already knows all of these things already, but I don't know. Were you two competitive with each other?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, again, we're just coming off the Super Bowl, also known as the Kelce Bowl so we're in the Burns cast here. So seeing which, I'm going to guess, I don't know if this is, you're going to take after Jason. I mean, Jason's older, Kelce.
True.
And is the center, and you've got more of the build for the center.
True.
Things
were not always as they may appear now, is all I would say, but yes.
So that means you get Travis's role there as the tight end there. And I almost want to ask, like, who was better at what? But I almost want to ask Drew before I ask you guys. So, like, who was, Drew, Devin or Garrett, who was better in school?
Oh, Garrett for sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, generally, I was thinking I would give him the overall smarter score, especially with math and science.
Okay.
I might give myself a little bit of an edge in the writing English area.
That might be right, but that's not the, Garrett was in.
You're one for one, Drew. Who, Devin or Garrett, who argued with their parents more?
Not Devin.
A billion. Didn't even have to
that
think.
That can't be, like, you could have said, who argued, and then stopped. And I would have said Devin. And you could have said, with authorities, with me, with parents, with officials. With
Is that checked out?
I think that's accurate, yeah.
I think even before we started recording, we had a little bit of a discussion of almost a warm-up of a possible argument that could take place later in the podcast. Who was the better, Drew? Who was the better athlete? And you can specify sport if you need to.
Garrett's for sure the better athlete. Devin tries harder. That's not a dig on Garrett at all. Dev's like the one who's sweating harder at the end of the, like he's given his total energy. Garrett is the better athlete.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I'd say generally going up, he was the better athlete. And because we were competitive, sometimes then I would just quit sports. people will ask, like, your brother's really good at basketball, but you're not as good. You don't seem to be able to dribble and shoot. And I go, well, once he was better than me when I was about 10, I just decided we're not playing basketball anymore because I'm not losing.
All right. Drew, who is the better driver, Garrett or Devin?
Oh, that's a good question. I've driven a bunch with both of them, actually. That's strange. I'm going to say Devin because Garrett always complains when we drive together. Mostly because I have to use the restroom.
Oh, that's
like
true.
I'm not a. That's what he complains most about. So Dev wins this one. If not, I haven't noticed. Both of them are good drivers. Dev used to have this big orange truck.
We were just talking about
funny.
That the other night.
So, yeah. So I was a little more obnoxious on the road. Maybe a little more noticeable. But
Gare's
you haven't been
baby.
In a wreck in a with either of us, have you? You weren't in the car when I.
How many wrecks do you have?
I'm
on
trying
your
to
wreck?
Think.
Well, the one I thought of. I was going to basketball practice from CC's into Carroll. And somebody pulled out in front of me. It was their fault. But yeah.
It always is.
I was with Sam. Was that with Sam Shane?
Yeah.
I was in a wreck.
I hit you.
Sam. Yeah. I was in Sam's car. The answer is Devin. I totally, that was Sam's fault. We were all on the same team and we're just going like the slowest coming
it
out.
It was
of
the slowest wreck ever. Like I don't even think there was damage.
That is funny.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever heard the story about the Bishop Carroll kid that wrecked his car into Bishop Jekyll's?
No. Oh, my gosh.
So they were in a wreck, and he gets out, and he recognizes that it's the bishop and just starts throwing up.
Oh, my God.
Because he was so nervous, like, my parents are going to kill me. I just rear-ended the bishop's car. All right. Now, one of the things I asked when your dad was on is if they agree or disagree about things. So this is for you guys. Agree or disagree on music? Do you listen to the same music, or do you listen to different music?
I would say, especially growing up, I would listen to a lot of stuff Devin would listen to. So like he gave me CDs and stuff like that. And I was, but once maybe we went to college, listen to different stuff. Like, I probably, like I said, with my dad too, I think I listen more rap and hip hop probably than Dev does.
Yeah. Generally speaking. Yeah. And I mean, I steal some stuff from him too now on occasion, but I would say I'm generally more rock, alternative rock. He's more hip hop, a little bit of rap. He's more hip than I am. I'm not cool. So
yeah, I get it. That's the story of my life. Movies, agree or disagree generally on? You like the same movies, like different movies?
What'd you say?
I would say generally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of comedies again. Yeah.
The Burns household seems so much more peaceful than my household.
Oh, there is a hysterical video of them fighting as kids.
Oh, I would love to see that.
And Jackie is like explaining to them how they should attack the other in this wrestling circumstance.
That's what's so odd. It's
so funny.
It's night and day now between now and when we were growing up. Because we were so close in age and... I just picked on Garrett a lot
because
I was ornery.
Yeah.
So,
hey, you made me tougher. I was a big baby. I was the baby of the family. I was spoiled. So he needed to tough me up. He did a good job, and he wrestled. When did you start wrestling? He did junior wrestling. So
yeah, like second or third grade,
he was like tougher and worked harder. And so he would just be like, we're going to wrestle right now. I'm just like, I don't want to wrestle.
I feel like if we got a hold of that video, put it on the Diocesan webpage, it would crash the Diocesan.
It would be incredible. We should talk to Jackie about that. Did you know Devin once gave me a concussion?
No. On purpose?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
For trying too hard. We were playing a seminarian soccer game at St. Anne's during the seminarian weekend of recollection. I was playing goalie. I went up to catch a shot that was coming in. Devin undercut me and I landed on my head. And I got a concussion. And then Gare, that later that night, like 30 minutes later, knocked Bina's head basically open. He had to go get stitches. So the whole seminary is at St. Joe's Hospital down on the south side. Me to get an MRI and Bina to get stitches in his head. And we apologized to them because we're like, all these Sems on a Saturday night are in the hospital. And they're like, you guys are the best behaved people we've had on here on a Saturday night in so long.
No kidding. And we still had another tournament the next year.
We still kept playing the game.
Bishop Jekyll's call us the Bash Brothers.
That's so right.
Very proud of that nickname.
Yeah.
Now, were you friends with Drew growing up, or was he just kind of around?
So, from my perspective, it was a little odd. So, the three of us, me and Garrett and Lauren, are so close in age, and I'm in the middle. Growing up, I was very much a middle child. So, like, I don't want to fit in. I want to be the one that's different.
Uh-huh.
So, even Lauren's friends, I didn't want to be friends with them if they were in my class or stuff like that. So, I feel like it was a little bit like that with Garrett, that he was 2 years behind me, like, at Carroll. And so, like, I kind of tried even harder to be like, oh, like, I know those guys. Like, I would see them at nights and I knew who they were. But I wouldn't say we were, like, friends necessarily in high school.
And I didn't really start, like, living at the Burns house till I had a car, which I get at the end of my sophomore year, which is when you go to KU. And so during a lot of those times, Dev wasn't really around. And then when we got to KU, a lot of your friends were there, but Dev had joined the seminary. And we'll tell that story, I'm sure, here in a little bit. So we didn't overlap a ton until we were on a camp team together. After my freshman year of college, we were both on the same camp team and became really good friends. And then he was my director the next year when I was on camp team again. So that's really when we became friends.
Yep.
Cool. Well, I will say, Drew, I think you earned your title as honorary member of the Burns family. You seem to know all the
I know this family. I've stolen the food from this family.
Do your folks come out and hang out with their folks? Our parents are great friends.
Yeah.
That's cool. I don't know that I really ever brought any of my friends' parents near my parents. I don't know, at
the Cape and Carol game this year, I had this great picture of me turning around and it's my dad, Father Clay's dad, and Garrett's dad bundled up in the seats at Riverfront Stadium together. Just the three of them came to the game together watching this.
That's cool.
It's cool. Yeah.
I remember going to the movie one time in high school at the Warren with my dad, and I had friends that worked at the food part of the Warren. And so I went over to say hi and your dad's here? And they like worked their way around the edge of the room because none of them had ever seen my father. Oh. And like, he's in line to get popcorn. And so I point him out and they go back to their work. And I just get back to my dad and he looks at me. Your friends have fun looking at me.
That's pretty good.
They were curious, Dad. Sorry. You're kind of a mysterious person. Well, we have had glimpses, I think, into your vocation, Devin, from Garrett's perspective, sure, from your dad's perspective. But I think it's over time that we actually hear it from the horse's mouth. So if you would be so good as to tell us your story, your vocation story.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I'll try to hit a couple of those touchstone moments that the listeners may already be familiar with.
Yeah, there's one part I'm very curious to hear your perspective on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to defend it very much, I'll be honest, but I can give you my perspective on it. I always think that my vocation story starts growing up with my parents and in our family and going to Catholic schools, and just the idea really being encouraged and reiterated to me through many different people that if you follow God's will and do what he wants you to do, you'll be happy, right? And that applies to vocation. It applies to what you decide to do every day at school. It decides... You know, it informs what job you have, all sorts of things, right? That if you do God's will, it'll actually make you happy. And so I always kind of believed that growing up, wanted to be pious, wanted to go to Mass and those sorts of things. And that was always just kind of in the back of my head, especially as I went through high school, to think about, okay, well, what does God want me to do? Because that is the thing that's going to make me the most happy in life. And so as I went through high school, I, with Knights of the Holy Queen, started going to Mass more often, establishing a regular prayer life and seeing how God was working in some of my peers. And just was really edified and really inspired to continue to pursue that life of holiness. And I think one of the great things about the Knights, not only what it did for us with our peers in high school, which is you saw a lot of guys go to seminary.
Yeah.
You know, and they would come back in the summer and you would meet them and they were guys that you had played Frisbee with before. So it wasn't a big, huge jump to think, oh, like I might be called to go to the seminary. It was like, oh, that's a kind of normal thing for a guy to consider, you know, going out of high school and into college. And so it seemed like a really natural question for me to ask. As I got to the end of my high school career at Bishop Carroll, I'll be honest, I also didn't really know what I was doing with my life. So it was like, I could go to college and figure it out, or should I go to seminary? I guess those are two options. And I remember going to Quo Vadis my senior year at Bishop Carroll in that January. And I wasn't like planning to enter seminary, but I went on an Emmaus walk with priest. I think it was a priest of our diocese. It could have been from somewhere else. But I honestly have no idea who it was. I can't remember what he looked like, what he sounded like. So, but I kind of told him, yeah, I'm thinking about it, but don't necessarily feel called, but you know, I guess I could go to seminary and kind of get the yes or no answer. And he just like point blank goes like, don't go to seminary if that's how you feel right now. And from what I remember, his advice was basically like, leave the door open. The Lord may be calling you, but don't kind of go searching for a calling. Because then you're going to get to seminary and be kind of disappointed, or you're going to be surprised somebody didn't tell you, yep, you're supposed to be a priest, or no, you're not supposed to be a priest. So he said, you know, you can go to college, keep that as an option, but I don't see any reason why you should kind of leave that behind and try to go to seminary now. So I was like, okay. A couple months later, KU gave me a $2,000 scholarship, and I said, hey, it's April my senior year. I guess I'm going to go to Lawrence next year. Like I said, not a lot of plans in my life at that point. So I went off to KU and was excited to go there, excited to continue to grow in my faith, being involved in the St. Lawrence Center there. Started just taking really gen eds, kind of slowly walking down the path of a journalism major. And I just really enjoyed my time there, especially that first year, to get to meet new people, to still be close to the church and close to Christ, to enjoy football games when we weren't bad at football, to enjoy basketball games in Allen Fieldhouse. But as that freshman year kind of continued into the spring semester, I just noticed that I wasn't really happy. It's not that there was something missing in my life, but I was just like, this is fine and good, and I have a lot of good friends that I think are helping me become holy. I'm not kind of going off on the deep end. Like I'd heard some people when they go to college get involved in all sorts of things that take them away from the Lord, but I just wasn't really happy. And I was kind of frustrated by it that spring semester of thinking, well, Lord, I haven't totally left you behind. Why am I not happy? And I kind of remembered that, okay, well, if you do what the Lord wants you to do, it'll make you happy. And I felt like I was doing that. So I just kind of continued through that spring semester thinking that, okay, eventually kind of my feeling of happiness and joy will catch up to doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And there was a really pivotal moment in April of 2008. For those of you that are big sports fans, might recognize that as an important date and time. When the Kansas...
Chad is nodding, just knowing what's coming here.
It's because as a basketball fan, it's that time that our team cut down the net. We did so good.
So KU is playing Memphis in a rather large game. I believe in San Antonio, Texas, for the national championship in basketball. And I remember distinctly, like in prayer and in my thought, thinking, you know, if we win the national championship in basketball in my freshman year at KU, that's it. Like, that's the mountaintop.
Yeah.
How else, what else am I waiting around for to be happy? This is the, has to be the thing that will make me happy, that will make me feel like I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. So it was great fun. We went and watched it out in Fieldhouse, watched with some of my friends. Got really nervous there for a little bit. Tron Collins made a three. We sent it to overtime. Memphis missed some free throws. Again, Chad, I know you know all this, but just for the listeners that
I'm reliving it in my mind right now.
Mario Chalmers made a very important three-pointer.
Margo.
And we ended up winning
Margo
in overtime.
Margo, my man, is what I used to call him.
So I remember at the end of overtime, all the fans in Allen Fieldhouse stormed the court. And I remember running down onto the court in Allen Fieldhouse where I'd never been before, looking up, watching Tron Collins dribble out the basketball, and just thinking, this did not fix it. As great and as fun as this isn't actually making me happy. So I went and we celebrated. We went to Mastery. We had fun with our friends. It was fine. But I remember a couple of days after that, I went to Adoration and was just, I was mad. Just upset at God. I said, Lord, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I think I'm doing what you want me to do. Why am I not happy? I didn't really get an answer in that moment. But later that summer, I went out and taught Totus Tuus out in Denver. One of our mutual friends, Jose Gonzalez, was out there running the program and had called me and said, hey, I need a couple more guys to teach Totus Tuus this summer. I'd always thought about it because we had hosted families or we had hosted teams at our house growing up. And I said, yeah, sure, I can make that happen for this summer. And so I went out and taught Totus Tuus and just tried my best to live with that motto of St. John Paul II of saying, Lord, I'm giving you these 10 weeks. They're going to be totally yours to teach these kids, but maybe more importantly, me just to put my life in your hands to see what it is that you want me to do. And those 10 weeks were by far the most joyful weeks I'd had up to that point in my life. And it wasn't because I was particularly good at teaching kids the faith. Definitely not with little kids. I think
brought the energy.
Brought the energy. I invented the ascension game with second graders at one time, which was really just picking them up and acting like they were sending to heaven. Like there was nothing.
Nailed it.
Pedagogically that was happening. Yeah, nothing deeper theological. But just by putting myself in God's hands and doing His will, forming that life of daily prayer, just showed me that that's really what makes me happy. It wasn't anything that would happen at KU. It wasn't winning sports games. It wasn't any kind of earthly achievement, but it was just really actually doing what God wanted me to do rather than what I wanted. And so because I experienced that joy of doing God's will was much better than the joy of the things that I thought would make me happy, I was able to ask the question of my vocation in a totally different way. Still remember one night in Fort Collins, Colorado, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and we were in adoration, and I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I really believe if you've made me happy throughout this summer, you'll make me happy doing whatever you call me to do. So that's when I first just felt that call to seminary to say, I want you to go to seminary. And I did a double take, like most of us do. So, maybe try back next week and see if this is still the idea, God.
Try back next week.
Got the wrong person.
But just as I continued to pray with it, there was just a great sense of peace. And really that reminder that, Lord, if you've made me happy in these 10 weeks doing your will, you would definitely make me happy as a priest. There's no question about that. So that's what ultimately led me to leaving KU after 2 years, entering the seminary, and really just answering that question each and every year, that as I continued to go back, if that's what God wanted me to do, then that's what would make me happy. So after that summer of Totus Tuus, I actually went back to KU for a year, Because again, I wanted to make sure God was positive with what he wanted me to do. You know, give him 8 to 12 months to change his mind. It would be okay.
Yeah. All right, Jonah.
And so that November, I'm going home and I'm like, I know I'm going into seminary. I need to tell my family. I need to let them know. My thought was, I mean, this is like 8 months before I'm actually leaving. Like, I'm not saying I'm doing a good job, but like, hey, they got some time to process and figure it out. So I think, like my dad said on the podcast, I knew before the end of Thanksgiving break, I needed to tell my parents. I've always made deadlines for myself because or else I just won't do stuff. And usually with the deadline, I'll do it, but just right before the deadline's there. Like, I'm not getting ahead of schedule.
I can respect that.
Remember when I said Gare was the better at school of the Burns?
We're getting the homework in, but yeah. Sometimes done is better than good. So before I drive off for Lawrence, I remember just saying, standing in the driveway and going, so Mom and Dad, just so you know, I think I'm probably going to seminary next year. Just want to let you know. See ya.
So long.
You thought that was good.
No,
I know, yeah. But when you're like, pulling off.
Well, yeah, well, you were in the car after thinking? That, like, nailed it.
No, it wasn't like nailed it. It was like, I did what I needed to do.
Okay.
I did tell them before I left for Thanksgiving break. So check. I'm not going to say that it was good, but done is better than good sometimes.
Were you at all concerned about the reaction going into it? Do you remember that? Was there any concern, like, how are they going to respond to this?
I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know if they were going to be like shocked and like, come back inside. We need to ask you questions. I didn't know if they were going to be upset. So that was part of it. I didn't know how they would react, but I assumed they would be fine with it and, you know, they would support me. So there wasn't really a fear of like, okay, they're going to be mad that I might leave KU or something like that. So.
Cause in that way, yours was harder than Garrett's. Cause I mean, at least they'd had practice by the time he had to tell it. I mean, it's like the older brother, you were doing your job of helping him out still.
Just breaking the ice.
That's right.
So you go the rest of your time at KU. I decided I was joining seminary in February. Gary was about the same January, February. And we didn't do anything for 4 months, 3 months. So how do you go, like Thanksgiving, that's a whole semester. How did you do any work?
There wasn't a lot of work getting done, I'll be honest. I got into the journalism school like that December going into the spring. So I was supposed to take J101, which is the intro to journalism class that spring. And it was 8 a.m. 5 days a week. And I just said, I'm dropping, like, this is silly. I'm dropping that class. There was a fair amount of that, of just dropping classes that weren't going to apply.
I did the same thing spring semester of my last year at K-State. I had an 8 a.m. class. I'm like, I don't need this. I am dropping nothing before 10 a.m. my last semester at K-State.
I have this memory of us over at a house and Gare is like looking at his schedule, deciding what to drop, like interviewing us on what we think he should drop for the semester. These like biomedical engineering classes. And so, okay, understood.
Yeah. And then I needed some help from some friends. I remember one told me, you know, sometimes you're like the fishermen, James and John and Peter and Andrew, and you're in your fishing boat and you're comfortable and sometimes you got to get out of some of those boats. Mm. So there were plenty of boats that I had gotten into and gotten comfortable with in my life at KU that I needed to get out of. So it's not that they were all bad things or anything like that, but starting to change some of my life in that way, knowing I was heading to seminary. So it wasn't just dropping classes and not doing homework. It was kind of preparing myself to go live that life too.
Did you know we represent half of the current KU Wichita vocations?
Wow.
Do you know who the other three are?
Ty Taylor.
We've had one of them on this pod.
Brian.
David Lease.
That's right.
There's one other.
It wasn't Jared, but
there's one other that I was surprised of. I was up at KU last weekend. Darren May, I think, is a Jayhawk.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
I think so. I think so.
For Darren May. Well,
but not a huge number, but six of us.
Yeah.
And of course, Coakley and Conley were Jayhawks. And so that.
KU's kind of like the Capen of the Trail Capen rival. I mean, they just,
that actually is kind of true.
K-State's kind of got the agricultural West Side feel to it.
There's something true.
Yeah. I think we go for quality more than quantity. Yeah, you know, we just want to make sure the ones who do come from.
I hold both sides of this argument. It's not fair, actually.
So after KU, then you went to Conception then for 2 years?
Yep. So since Garrett had all sorts of science and math classes, so he wasn't able to finish his degree in 2 years after 2 years at KU. I had a bunch of gen eds that got most of my philosophy degree taken care of. So yeah, I went to Conception for 2 years, took a lot of philosophy in 2 years, which hurt my brain a little bit, but we survived. Mm-hmm. And then I spent 4 years out at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland for my theology.
As Pat pointed out on a previous podcast, we have a picture over there on the wall of Mount St. Beautiful picture.
Beautiful drawing.
Who are those?
Grandpa.
So, were there any... Oh, go ahead, Garrett.
No, I was just going to ask if your... modeling career prepared you at all?
Yes.
Wait, what?
I totally forgot about
this. For life as a priest.
So well. You know, you get used to being in front of people, how you'll appear, you know, and on multiple sides. So
you're
it was
a public person. You're a public person.
For those that don't know, when I was in seventh or eighth grade, our mom thought it would be a good idea to kind of start a little modeling side gig. So I had some face shots taken. Was in a few runway shows. One to Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne.
Oh, so it's got a soft spot in my heart. I did not know this.
So
I think mom still got the portfolio.
I was going to say, if we had some pictures that could crash the Diocesan website, yeah. If we got those up.
We definitely would. So yeah, that was the short-lived modeling career.
I will never hear Skater Boy again and have Nora, not think of you. Wow.
Good memories.
Were there any fellow knights like in your age bracket that went in the seminary?
So Andy Rowe was in my class.
Okay.
Entered seminary for a couple years and then left. So we joke that he's my lay surrogate and I'm his priestly surrogate. That's right. When he left seminary, I entered. So we kind of swapped places. We live vicariously through each other. And then Father Derek Tommy was in my class. He's actually the one that invited me to the Knights of the Holy Queen.
Oh, cool.
So he was just ordained a couple years ago.
Cool. And what's your knight's name?
Sir Charles Borromeo.
Oh, that's a good one.
Borromeo House.
Man, yeah.
Who is the patron saint of seminarians. Do you think I would have maybe noticed something then when I picked that name? But
we've got a first-class relic of him up in the chapel upstairs. If I were more technologically skilled, I would so, for this one episode, make Skater Boy our exit music, but I don't actually know how to do that. It's probably not legal.
Just sing it for us.
Well, thanks for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, about4.org. The final word today goes to Father Devin.
This is the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi before the crucifix, which is believed to be written in front of that cross of San Damiano. Most high, glorious God, enlighten the darkness of my heart. Give me right faith, sure hope, and perfect charity. Fill me with understanding and knowledge that I may fulfill your command.
See you next week.